Thank you. Thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word. And all of us together, Father, are going to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. I began last week with the subject of having a genuine love for God. And I want to continue along that line this week because it's so, so important. Amen?
Amen.
And I pointed out to you that whether you're saved or unsaved, we can't exist without God Almighty.
Amen.
We need Him. Amen. And you may call yourself an atheist, but you need Him. Some folks call themselves atheists, but they're still breathing. But I won't get into that. But we cannot exist without Him. And as His children, we are instructed to ask Him for whatever it is we need. 1 John 5:14-15 tells us that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And He will answer that prayer. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Amen. I want to read, before I move on any further, I want to read a verse. I want to read three verses, I believe. Four verses. In the book of 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That's Jesus.
Amen.
The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 3. That which we have seen, now pay special attention here, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our fellowship should be with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 4, he goes on, the Apostle John goes on to write, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Amen? That your joy may be full. Fellowshipping with God, walking and living in fellowship with Him. You want to have fellowship with the ones you love, don't you? You want to have fellowship with the ones you love. In other words, you are drawn like a magnet to the ones you love. Well, it should be no different with God, right? Amen. The Bible tells us that love is a powerful thing. It is. It's a powerful thing. Matter of fact, in the, what we call the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the very last verse, 13 verse, says that now abideth faith, hope, and love. But then it says the greatest of these three, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these three is love. Hallelujah. In first, that same chapter, in verse 8, it tells us that love never fails. Love is eternal. It never fails. You know, too many times we are pursuing the temporary rather than the eternal. Amen. Now, the Bible talks about four types of love. You probably know this already, but I'll share it with you anyhow briefly, not in any great detail, but one type of love that it talks about is Eros love. Eros love, E-R-O-S. That's a type of love, Eros. And Eros is the type of love that a man would have for his wife, or a wife for her husband. It's romantic love. Amen? That's called Eros love. And then there's another one called Storge, or Storge. Spelled S-T-O-R-G-E. And that's family type love, love between family members. Love for your kin. Yeah. You know, sometimes we hear people say things like, well, you know, you love him better than you love me, or more than you love me, or you love her more than you love me. But you know, if we are in Christ and walking in Christ and walking in the Word, there's enough love to go around that nobody is lacking for any. My wife and I have four children. And children being children, they've accused us of loving one more than the other, especially boys. And we got one daughter and three sons, and they clear out that we love the girl the most, which is not true. And of course, out of every group you have, there's always one that's the youngest. Then you're going to get accused of loving the youngest more than you do the rest. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. God gives you the type of love where you have love overflowing for each and every one of them. Each and every, I love my children equally. Thank God for my children. Amen. I love my children equally. They're my children. Amen. If they ever tell you any different, they lie. Amen. We love them all the same. And I know my wife do too. Love them all the same. But now I have a different kind of love for my wife than I do my children. Amen. Eros for my wife. And then, of course, there's philia, F-I-L-I-A. which is a friendship type of love. Friendship type of love. You have friends that you love. Amen? But that's a whole different type of, it's genuine, but it's a whole different love. These folks are my friends. I love them different than I do my wife. I love them different than I do my children. But nevertheless, I love them. They're my friends. Amen? And then there's the greatest love of all. It's called the agape. Agape, A-G-A-P-A. Did I spell it right? A-G-A-P-E, excuse me. Yeah. Thank you. A-G-A-P-E. That's the God kind of love. Amen. That's the God kind of love. In John 3:16, when it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life," that was the God kind of love. The God kind of love says, "I'll take the best I got and sacrifice it for the most miserable." And we were the most miserable because we was under Satan's domain. Amen. But God says, "I give my only begotten Son. I give him for them if they just believe in him." How many of you know many did not believe? But in God's mind, hear me good. In God's mind and in God's heart, if only one person would have believed on Jesus Christ, he would have still sent his Son. See, that's how important we are to him. That's how precious we are to him. Amen? Think about it, Brother Street. If you had been the only one that out of the millions and millions and millions that believed on Jesus, he would have still sent him. Greg, he'd have still sent him for you, brother. Tony, he'd have sent him for you. If you'd have been one, just one lone person that says, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he is Lord. And I give him my life." He would have done it for one. But thank God there's more than one, isn't it? I'm in that number. You're in that number. Hallelujah. That's agape. That's the agape love of God. That, see, that kind of love is unconditional. That's not conditional. Some folks say, "Well, I'll love you if you give me what I want." That's not real love. But God says, "I love you, period." And right now, he loved the sinners, those that don't even love him, he loved them. Amen. So guys, ladies, gentlemen, young people, if you don't know Jesus, if you hadn't surrendered your life to Jesus, you better do it now, because there's coming a time when you won't have that opportunity. But you have it now. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we know that God loves us, and he loves us unconditionally. And I told you this last week, that what happens sometime in the body of Christ is that God promised us that he would meet all of our needs. He would bless us. He would heal our bodies. And thank God he's faithful to do that. Amen. And many of you, including myself, have that testimony of the healing power of God. He promised us that he would meet our needs, our financial needs, our physical needs. He promised us that he would do that. And so I praise him and I magnify him for doing that. But God is not a sugar daddy, if I can say it that way. Give me, just give me, you know, and go away, and whenever I need something else, I call you. You know, that's not the God we serve. But sometimes, if you're not careful, you can get over there where the only time you are in God's face is when you need something. Amen? Now, the Word of God tells us, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you can find help, find grace, find what you need. God says, I give it to you. But what he wants from us is love in return. Love in return. Not just a bunch of spoiled kids, a spoiled, selfish kid. You hear me? Spoiled, selfish kids. You know there are a bunch of spoiled, selfish kids in prison today? Because mama or daddy or both didn't teach them responsibility, just handed them everything they asked for without teaching them responsibility and how to appreciate what they have and be thankful for what they have. So when mom and daddy died, there's nobody to give them a handout. Guess what? They said, "Well, I've got to have this." So they go and try to take it, and then they wind up in prison, or they wind up dead. But God wants responsible children. He wants us to be responsible. What did the Word of God say? Those of us that are faithful over what? Little things. Then he'll put us in charge over bigger things. Don't think God's not paying attention to what we do and how we live. God will entrust to us more if we show him that we can be faithful with the little. But I'm here to tell you, if you're not faithful in the little, you're not going to be faithful with the much. Amen. Hallelujah. And we talked about last week where Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, what he was saying, if you love me, do what I tell you. Now, God don't want just a surface relationship with him. He wants a deep relationship with us. Therefore, we should live a life of obedience. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Now, I'll just give you the gist of the story here in the 15th chapter of Samuel. 1 Samuel, King Saul was instructed by God to go out and make war against the Amalekites. And God gave him specific instructions. God said, kill everything. Destroy everything. Any of you, don't raise your hand, please, but any of you ever felt like you had to help God out? Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but it really don't mean that. I know the Bible says I shouldn't be fooling around committing adultery or having illicit sex or perverted sex, but it really don't mean that. After all, God knows I'm human. King Saul had an idea. Says, okay, you know, we'll kill everything except the sheep and the cattle and so forth. So he decided what he was going to keep. That's not what God said. If God tells us to go a mile, he don't want us to go 3/4 of a mile. He wants us to go the whole mile. So he used the excuse. Come on, we know human nature, don't we? I know I'm not really doing what God said, but we're going to sacrifice this for God. You know, I know I shouldn't be taking money that I don't rightly deserve, but after all, I'm going to give God 10%. I'm going to give God my tithe. If it ain't your money, you still a thief. No matter, you can give God 100%. If it's not your money, you are still a thief. You stole it. Can you see how folks' mind can get twisted and they can make excuses to do what they want to do? I wonder, am I talking to anybody? We don't want to take on that attitude. King Saul had. When God tells us to do something, he expects us to do it. Now, this takes me to verse 22. And of course, the prophet Samuel confronted him about his disobedience. And when we get down to verse 22, and then make sure that I'm in the right place here. Okay. After Saul finished making his excuses, verse 22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" You see that? "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion," this is verse 23, "for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Wow. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I tell you to do. And don't make excuses to do otherwise. Is this a hard message for you today? If you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, we must make up our minds that I'm going to do what's right because I love God. No question, he loves me, but I'm going to do what's right because I love him. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. If you find a wallet, $10,000 in it, or a handbag with $10,000 in it, or 100. You say, well, like I said earlier, $10,000, that's $1,000 tied. I'm give to the Lord, and I got $9,000 spent on me. God's not happy with that. Well, I obeyed God in the tithe. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What you should have done is found the owner of that wallet or handbag and give them their property back. Amen. I take as many amens as I can get, but if I don't get a one, I'm going to keep on preaching. Amen. And here, he talks about the fact that this sin is as just like witchcraft. Let me read verse 23 to you again. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. See, when we do not do what we know we should do, that's called rebellion. I know what I should do. I have the ability to do the right thing, but I'm choosing to do the opposite. I'm choosing to do what I want to do or what my flesh wants to do. That becomes rebellion. We don't want to live there. And in Saul's case, God says, that's it for him. Let's move on for a little bit. If we love God, listen, this is not talked about enough. And thank God for his grace. Say, thank God for his grace.
Thank God for his grace.
Say, thank God for his mercy.
Thank God for his mercy.
Because without his grace and without his mercy, we would all be most miserable people. Amen. But we gotta be careful though that we don't use that as an excuse to do what we want to do. Well, you know, grace got me covered. Grace got me covered. Well, I like what 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, when we confess our sins, we're not playing around. We're confessing our sin. Lord, I have sinned against thee. And I'm sorry, forgive me. But we can't play games with God. Can't play games with God. God wants a people that are genuine, that truly love Him, not just in word, but in deed, in action. Hallelujah. And are willing, if you miss it, to truly repent. We all have missed it. Nobody can throw stones at anybody else in here. We've all missed it. We've all, from time to time, have gone our own way. But listen, we cannot play games. If you're wrong, confess it before God. Let's make it right. Amen. God is looking for, listen to this. God loves you. Don't you ever lose sight of that. God loves you. Say, God loves me.
God loves
Say it again.
God loves me.
Amen. But God is looking for some vessels He can fill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. There are some impartations that's waiting on many of us. Notice I said waiting. There's some impartations waiting on us because we have not placed ourselves in the position to receive. You're still here? Now, if I'm out, now this is, today is Sunday, but if I was out, last night partying and getting drunk and cursing and doing all the things, doing all those things, I can't expect to come in here on Sunday morning and completely fulfill the will of God for me. See, God has to have a yielded vessel. And He have to have a vessel that He can fill. And I'm not talking about with the Holy Ghost. We all need Him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about to be able to fill us and equip us to do the things that He wants us to do and He's called us to do. God will send us to people, but we have to be in the right condition to go. You can have a person that's been driving a car, automobile, for 30, 40 years, and they're very good at it. But if they've been drinking, guess what? They have no business on the road because rather than helping somebody, they're going to hurt somebody possibly. And God has not called us to hurt people. He's called us to help people. I've had people say to me for years and years, well, you know, such and such, you know, they claim to be this and they claim to be that, but I know the real person. And I'm talking about people that say they're Christians. And so people say, well, I have no confidence in them, and there ain't a thing they can tell me. I don't want to hear a word they have to say. Probably you've heard the same thing said to you, simply because of what they see. Now, don't get me wrong. I realize people can falsely accuse you. That's not what I'm talking about. People will lie on you. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about people that need someone to confide in, people that need someone to pray with them, to lay hands on them and pray with them, or come in agreement with them on something very serious in their life, and they know a person, but they say, I just can't go because I know the real person. Y'all still here? I'm gonna let you go in a little bit, really. Look at somebody and say, is this good or what? And don't respond, what? My job as a pastor is to feed the sheep. Thank you for your prayers, but I tell you what, I want to feed you good food. You come in this church, I don't want to just feed you banana pudding every Sunday. All the sweet stuff. Let's bring in some spinach and asparagus. Oh yeah, that's good for you. I like asparagus. I like the tender asparagus. Some of it's tough and stringy. I don't care too much for that, but that I can chew up and swallow real good. I like it. I want this church to be so full of the power of God, the wisdom of God, that they can go out and help anyone that have a need. If they need to know Jesus, you know how to get them saved. If they're sick in their bodies, you know how to pray for them and get them healed. If they're having some issues, you can pray with them about the issues they're having. And I know sometimes you need to bring them to the pastor. I understand that. But God's called us as a body to be able to go out and reach the lost, reach the hurting. Amen. And this is not a condemning message. It's not. But the Bible does tell us to live a clean life, to live a pure life. I believe in prosperity. I believe God wants us to meet our needs. I believe God wants to heal our bodies. It's all written in the scriptures, isn't it? Amen. It's there. And I'll continue to preach it. I preach what's in the Bible. You hear me? I preach what's in the Bible. But I'm here to tell you the Bible also tells us to live a clean life. I'm hearing too much stuff on folks that's in important positions. They're very talented. They even know the Bible. But because you know the Bible don't mean you're living it. He's a good deacon. He's, I ain't talking about nobody in here. Somebody, deacon, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. He's a good deacon. But I want to tell you something. I love his wife. She's so sweet. But he's a woman chaser. Or he's a good preacher. But he's a woman chaser, or she's a man chaser. These things shouldn't be said about us and be true. Because you can build a nice building, I'm using this as an example, beautiful edifice. But if the foundation is not sure, it's going to collapse to the ground. We must build on a solid foundation, not just knowing what the Word of God says, but doing what the Word of God says, living a life according to God's Word. Need to read the book of James, man. James talks about that tongue, blessing God and cursing people. And again, I'm not here to beat you up today. I'm not here to beat you up, but I'm here to let you know that we are to love God with everything we got. Remember, Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. Covered this last week. You know what? Jesus asking us the same thing. Do we love him? Do we love him? Not that you're saved, but do you really love him to serve him? What sacrifices are you willing to make for him? Hallelujah. I guess I better close this out. I don't want to give you too much. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. We've been shouting and praising God in this service today, haven't we?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't let my message short circuit your shout. What do you mean, Pastor? What you do? You do 1 John 1:9 and go ahead and repent and keep on shouting. Keep on praising. Oh, glory to God. Father, we thank you right now for your word.